This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday, the 3rd of May, 2020. Yep, it's May already. My, doesn't time fly when you're isolated. Today we explore amateur radio history from a century ago with items from Australian newspapers in the 1920s. We get an extra from Roy this week with a reminder about how to have a QSO with Jan VE0JS on 80 metres on Wednesdays, and of course, he gives us helpline, as he always does. There's news about rule changes for next month's VK Shires contest, and Clive reminds us about the RAOTC broadcast. News West is your Western Australian amateur radio news program, and you can hear it on air, online, or on demand. A visit to vk6.net will tell you how.
This item from the Sunday Sydney on 22nd of January 1920. The heading is Amateur Radio by AABS Sparks. I was pleased to see by the Sun, 9th of 1st 20, that someone has at last awakened to the neglected state of our radio communication. The great possibilities offered by this wonderful invention appear to have been overlooked by the government of this country, to whom the great aid given by wireless during the war should have shown much of its possibilities. Most people would no doubt be greatly surprised to learn that a wireless message sent from Carnarvon Station in Wales takes 1/15th of a second to reach Sydney, which is in great contrast to the 4-hour record offered by cable. Another great point of grievance is the lack of interest shown by the government in amateur wireless. In the United States of America, amateurs are given every encouragement, radio clubs and radio relay leagues, by which any amateur can communicate with brother enthusiasts in all parts of America, are found in all of the principal towns in the states. Out here in Australia, hardly two amateurs seem to know one to the other. There is one club in Sydney. Beyond that, there is no other which I have any knowledge. While our amateurs have to use the old crystal-type detectors and instruments, our American cousins use the latest types of valve receivers, by which they can hear the stations in Europe at work. As an amateur myself, I naturally feel being so far behind the times very greatly. The ban on amateur work has only just been lifted in this country, while in America it was lifted in April last year. This shows to a great extent the lack of interest displayed. I'm not sure whether it's correct or not, but I have heard that it was stated in Parliament that amateurs greatly interfered with the sending of government messages. This seems to be a great contradiction to what the Signor Macroni wrote in the March issue of 1990 of The Wireless World, wherein he said, "I consider the existence of a body of independent and often enthusiastic amateurs constitutes a valuable asset towards the future development of wireless telegraphy." According to the article by Mr. E. T. Fisk, one of the Amalgamated Wireless Co. Sydney and Marconi Co., is willing to erect a station powerful enough to communicate with England on being given permission by the government to do so. This offer seems to have been neglected by those who should be working for the betterment of this country.
This history item comes from the Northern Argus newspaper, which was based in Clare in South Australia and is dated Friday the 14th of May 1920. No newspaper these days would get away with this style of reporting, however, I'll read it as is written. The heading starts it off with, "Girl Wireless Operator." Many stories have been written of boys who have put up wireless apparatus in their own homes and learned to receive and send messages by studying and reading up in electrical books. But now a leading magazine tells about a little girl in Cincinnati who still wears short skirts and her hair in pigtails, who has a regular amateur license from the government to maintain receiving and sending government station, called a general amateur radio station of the second grade. She began by working in the kitchen at home, and she put up the aerial, 50 feet high, with 4 wires, herself. She was asked to go to one of the high schools and illustrate what she could do. When she sat down at the instruments used at the school for teaching, she said that they were too small to be of much use. Her own set was much larger. She has the largest tuner that can be had for an amateur set, and she used a large helix and a dynamo instead of dry cells. When a tiny girl, she used to play with electric toys instead of dolls. And that's the end of the item. And I did warn you, that was the style of the day. I wonder how she progressed in the hobby. I also note that the girl didn't have a name.
You may have heard of Jan Socrates, a Canadian round-the-world circumnavigating yachtswoman, her callsign Victor Echo Zero Juliet Sierra, and with Austravel Radio Net, it's 7245. And at the moment, she's in WA. She's sailed the globe, and now she's sailing around WA in a motorhome, of course. But if you'd like to have a talk to Jan on 80 metres this coming Wednesday, the 6th of May, at 18:30, immediately following the commercial radio users group, which starts at 5:30, on 3.640 megahertz upper sideband. Don't forget to switch sidebands. Have a talk to Jan, Victor Echo Zero, Juliet Sierra. Have a listen to Jan on Wednesday night.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Next week, News West presents New Amateurs, where we take a look at who's got a new licence, who's upgraded their licence, and we welcome newcomers to the hobby. And as always, we're interested in hearing your story about how you came into the hobby, be it last week, last year or last century. We don't care. Tell us your story. It will be interesting to other people. And in meetings coming up this week, we have the RAOTC broadcasts, and the first one's at 10 o'clock. And it originates on VK6 RAP and on the News West linked repeater network and on 40 metres, 7.088 megahertz. That's 7.088 megahertz. And this happens on the first Monday of every month. Now, on Wednesday, we have Prawn Heads. Now, the restaurant meetings are suspended, but we do meet together on Zoom. Have a look at the Prawn Heads Facebook page and find out how. And the WA Repeater Group is holding its AGM on air on Monday night. Check the website for details, and it's on the VK6 RLM repeater and associated connections via Echolink All-Star. And as far as we can see, that's it for meetings this week. If your meeting's been left out, you know what to do. Give us a yell, newswest@vk6.net. Let us know what's coming up for your meetings.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6 Charlie Sierra Whiskey, reminding you that the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's May Bulletin goes to air tomorrow morning. This month, Bruce, VK3UV, will bring you the latest club news, after which we have an item asking what might happen if GPS stops working. A piece by Bruce on the Titanic radio operators, and then Ian, VK3JS, will bring us up to date on 48-volt car electrics. Everyone's most welcome to tune in and to join in the callbacks afterwards. There are now 4 transmissions available to WA listeners. The first transmission tomorrow morning will be on digital mobile radio. This will be on the VK DMR network, Talk Group 5, at 0900 AM WA local time or 0100 hours UTC. The second transmission is also at 9 AM on 80 metres on 3620 kHz from Chris VK6JI. The third is at 10 AM on 40 metres on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI, simultaneously with the transmission via the News West linked repeater system. The fourth option is a new transmission via D-Star on the Wednesday following the Monday broadcast. This is on D-Star Reflector 91C, and it follows the D-Star Newsline starting at 5:30 PM WA local time. If you can't tune in tomorrow, you can listen via the internet. As from today, you can download the May file from the RAOTC website, www.raotc.org.au, and as well as the current audio file, you can also download files for the previous 5 months. If you do listen via the internet, your acknowledgement and comments via email would be appreciated. The bulletin is also repeated following next Sunday's WIA news transmissions on 160, 80 and 40 metres. Once again, tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the DMR Network Talk Group 5, also at 9 a.m. on 80 metres, or 10 a.m. on either 40 metres or your favourite News West repeater for the May RAOTC broadcast. And don't forget, we have the new transmission also on Wednesday afternoon. We look forward to hearing your call sign during the callbacks afterwards. Keep smiling, keep safe, and with luck we won't be cooped up much longer. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
Here's one from the West Australian, Tuesday the 16th of August 1921. And the heading is Wireless in Schools, and it's a letter to the editor. Sir, as the recent installation of a wireless apparatus in a school in England is considered to be of sufficient importance to warrant the information being cabled across the world for publication in your issue of today, it should be of interest to your readers to know that at the Perth Boys' School in James Street, a wireless set with a radius of about 300 miles was installed some 8 years ago. The plant was dismantled by order of the military authorities at the beginning of the war, but selected members of the radio club were allowed to use the special instruments for the detection of illegal stations and succeeded in locating about 30 of these during the first 6 months of the Great Struggle. Early last year, the club was reformed and the plant reassembled, but a Commonwealth regulation which prevents sending for instructional purposes kills the interest of the boys by restricting the work to theory and receiving, and we shall have to await the completion of negotiations now pending before the club can resume work on the pre-war basis. Yours, etc. Perth, August the 15th, T.C. Chandler. And this one from the West Australian, the 11th of May 1920, and the heading is Wireless Telegraphy. The third general meeting of the West Australian Division of the Wireless Institute of Australia was held in the Science Room, Perth Boys School, on the 25th. A letter received from the Director of Radio Service in Melbourne was read and discussed, the salient points being A. On receipt of applications bearing the Institute's recommendation, permits will be issued. B. Permits for the use of valves will be issued to members of the Institute through the Council, providing that such cases have been investigated and recommended by the Council. C. Applications for transmitting licences will only be issued in special cases, which are to be investigated by the Council, who will make recommendations for issue or otherwise. Mr. W. E. Coxon gave an interesting and instructive lecture on pre-war and present-day wireless, touching lightly on the rapid progress made in the various spheres in which it was used during the period of the war, on land and sea, under the sea and in the air. Mr. Coxon concluded his address with many useful hints to members who are making their own apparatus, thus starting them on the correct lines and obviating much unnecessary work and expense in the purchase of material. Several instruments manufactured personally by Mr. Coxon were exhibited, the chief of which were a wave meter with a range from 200 to 2,800 meters and a three-valve receiver working. Thermionic valves enable signal to be received over long distances with moderate power, the one exhibited being used for receiving stations as far away as Europe. The evening was closed with a vote of thanks to the lecturer.
Amateur wireless triumphs. Experts such as Marconi and Edison have long emphasised the wisdom of giving the amateur wireless enthusiast as much freedom as consistent with national safety. Before and during the war, some of the outstanding wireless improvements were directly due to the experiments of non-professional zealots. The amateur has the advantage over the professional scientist in that his comparative ignorance does not prevent his tackling what is expertly deemed the impossible. The result is that sometimes the amateurs accomplish the impossible and confound the experts. This was dramatically illustrated the other day in the scheme propounded by several American wireless amateurs to span the Atlantic with the short electromagnetic waves permitted to non-professionals in that country. These young men erected a small portable building for their homemade plant and spent many cold nights adjusting their transmitting apparatus and sending out coded messages in the hope that they would be picked up by the amateur confrères in Scotland. Their transmitting plant only had 50 watts of electrical energy, equal merely to the power of the average electric light, and many wireless officials were openly scornful of the trivial outfit's ability to crackle any message over the 3,600 miles of land and sea between the two stations. But the amateurs went ahead with their trials and actually succeeded in their aims. This was rightly been hailed as a marvellous feat of signalling, which is not likely to be lost upon scientists and engineers in this part of the world. One journal jubilantly beholds the amateur radio art, in consequence spreading out to international proportions and fostering amicable relations between the people of sea-separated lands.
From Western Australia, this is VK6 ARN and you're listening to News West.
An interesting topic came up on the email list, and it came from Harry VK6 Doc. And Harry was talking about some noise that he gets on 433.750 MHz. Harry said he's been running an All-Star node on that frequency for a couple of years with no problem. He's had bursts of noise for 20 seconds or so every 10 minutes. At 2 minutes past the hour, 12 minutes past, 22 minutes past, and so on. My gosh, he must monitor that fairly regularly. Anyway, Harry said it's as regular as clockwork throughout the day. So he's asking if anybody else has heard this noise. There were a few answers, but the upshot is that that frequency is in the Lipid band, Lipid Low Interference Potential Devices. Our UHF allocation in that part of the band is actually a secondary allocation. And so the Lipids get the run of the mill, and the Lipids also, by definition, don't create interference. So anyway, that didn't fix Harry's noise problem, but it helped us all understand what the problem was. Now, the Wireless Institute of Australia recently published the 2019 DX leaderboard figures, as they do every year for the previous year. However, of note is that there are a few VK6s on there. So starting at number 8 on the list, VK6WX, that's Wesley, VK6 Delta Whiskey, Ian, VK6 India Romeo, that's Steve, VK6 Alpha Papa Kilo, that's Alex. Further down the list, VK6 Alpha Sierra, that's Andrew. So well done to all of those people for getting various places on the leaderboard for DX in Australia. And nobody in WA made the Foundation DX leaderboard for 2019. So there's an opening for someone. And again, well done to those people who have made it to the top 99 or whatever it was. No, it wasn't 99. Congratulations to those who made it onto the leaderboard. Now, just a brief note about the VK Shires contest. It's on the 6th of June, but they've just published a new set of rules for this 24-hour contest to cope with the social isolation regime that we're all coping with at the time. And so the rules have been modified. They're published on their WIA website. But the basic outline is it starts at 0100 UTC, runs for 24 hours, starts on the Saturday the 6th of June. All HF contest bands, that's 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10. And there's no multi-op entrance, there's no rover section. And you can repeat QSOs every 4 hours. Anyway, we'll have a full rundown on the contest and some hints and tips for Western Australians from the contest manager. And that will be in our contesting edition on the 17th of May. Now, news from Arthur, VK6 Holden Special Vehicles. And Arthur says that the PERO4, the Channel 4 repeater on CB, will be bringing News West and WIA News to the UHF CB world again, starting this Sunday morning, that's today, at 9 a.m. and the replay at 7 p.m. And Arthur says a big thank you to Rob VK6LD for his technical assistance on the project. There'll be no callbacks conducted. However, if you are listening on that one, you can record your callback on the VK6.net website. Thanks very much, Arthur and Rob, for getting that up and going, and spread the news amongst your mates, those who don't have amateur radio, those who rely on UHF, and maybe we'll convert some people into amateur radio. Thanks, Arthur, for the information. Northern Corridor Radio Group has announced a new date for Hamfest, and they say due to current circumstances and the uncertainty of the next few months, The Hamfest has been delayed until Sunday the 15th of November, so stick the date in your diaries, phones, etc., and there will be more information coming soon. And the Hamfest will be at the usual venue, Cyril Jackson Recreation Centre, Fisher Street, Ashfield, at the usual start time of 9 o'clock a.m. for the public. So hopefully we'll all be out of quarantine, isolation, etc., such that we can run all these events again. Thanks, Keith from the NCRG, for that information.
Yeah, g'day again. It's Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, this week's hotline for the 3rd of May. Today we're looking for Wanted. If you have a QRP rig, so something like an IC703 or a Yaesu Fox Tango 817-818, if we'd like to part with it, Jeff, VK6 Golf Hotel Delta. If you'd like to contact Jeff on 0413-615500, go to IC703. Your Fox Tango 817-818, VK6 Golf Hotel Delta. His email address is golfhoteldelta@maritimesafety.com. I spell Mike Alpha Romeo India Tango India Mike Echo Sierra Alpha Foxtrot Echo Tango Yankee.com. GHD@maritimesafety.com. Telephone 0413-615500. If you would like to sell your IC703 or your Yaesu 817-818. That's all I have for this day. Don't forget to talk to Jan Socrates, Vector Echo Zero, Juliet Sierra, Wednesday next, that's next Wednesday, on 3640 kHz on the upper sideband after the Commercial Radio Users Group, which starts at 17:30. And Jan will be on immediately following that at around about 18:30. So if you'd like to talk to Around the World, very courageous sailing woman, and circumnavigated the globe just recently. She'll be circumnavigating Australia in a motorhome as soon as the gates and the doors and all the borders open. So give her a call. Have a listen on 3640 kHz, upper sideband, next Wednesday, the 3rd. Cheers, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening from VK6 X-Ray Victor.
News West is compiled from a variety of sources, and views represented may not reflect the views of WA Amateur Radio News Incorporated. News West is offered in the open spirit that is amateur radio. So here we are at the end of today's broadcast. I hope you found the historical items from a century ago interesting. Let me tell you, they were hard work to read out, as word usage, abbreviations and sentence structures are different to modern usage. We do new amateurs next week, so let's have your stories about your entry to the hobby, or perhaps you'll have some information or advice for newcomers. Get in touch with me and tell me your idea. Let's work out how we can put it to air. You may have noticed that the meetings section is a bit sketchy, which is because all scheduled meetings have been canned. You can still advertise whatever it is you're doing instead, be it weekly or irregular, and once-off activities. Tell us about it by noon Friday, and it will go to air on Sunday. Now before we go, there's another stay home call sign on the air. This one is Victor India 20 Sierra Hotel, a special shortened version of the stay home call sign for digital modes. Thanks to the team this week, those who put the news to air and take callbacks, the regular studio team, Roy and Dan, and casual contributors. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the producer. And until next week, you know what you've got to do. Take care, stay healthy, and get on air and make some noise.
Thank you.